Can we give it up for the Dream Center, what the Lord has done with the Dream Center? Seriously. Man, all right, so this is completely off topic, but I'm going to say this, and I'm going to pray, and we're going to get in the Word. I love the fact that the church that I belong to, that I call my home church, is actually out doing the work of the ministry in the streets, in the neighborhood. So can we just give it up one time for being a part of a church who loves its community? Praise the Lord for it. All right. Like I said, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get in this Word. God, we thank you so much for tonight and this opportunity that you have given us to gather together as brothers and sisters in the faith and get into your Word together. I pray that as I am going through the Word, that it would encourage our hearts, that it would fall on good soil, and that it would produce a fruit in our lives that remains. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, oh, come on, y'all church people, that's what I'm talking about. All right, listen. The title of my message tonight is Run to Win. Run to Win. If you're taking notes, that's what you want to write down. I love people that take notes. It's easier to remember when you take notes. And then you can go back and fact check me and then come and talk to me about if I messed up. No, but Run to Win is the title of our message. And the main scripture is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. So if you have your Bibles, whether it be a physical one or on your phone. And if you don't, you can look on the screen. But 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, it says this. It says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And what Paul is telling us in this particular passage of scripture is that the Christian life we're living is very similar to a race. He compares it to a race, and it's not just a race that we are supposed to be participating in, right? We get on the line and then we just take off, right? We're not just participating in this race, but we are supposed to be running with the purpose of winning. That is the entire reason why any track star gets on the line anyway, is to win. And so we are supposed to, in that same mindset, we're supposed to be running with the purpose to win. And so this message calls believers to pursue their walk with Christ with discipline, with focus, and eternal purpose. If you're taking notes, you want to write that down. Walking with God with discipline, with focus, and with eternal purpose. We should be running to win. And if we're going to win, and if we're going to run this thing how we're supposed to, well, then running to win requires a couple of things. And the very first one is discipline. Running to win requires discipline. Requires mean that it is not optional. It requires us, it demands us to have discipline in our lives. We see 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, and this is just the first part of it. I'll bring up the second part later on. But the first part says, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, I'm not the smartest, book on the shelf. And so I had to go look up what temperate means. And so for those of you that might be like me, it means self-controlled. You can write that down for the next time you read temperate in your Bible. Temperate means self-control. And so it says, and everyone who competes for the prize is self-controlled in all things. We exercise self-discipline in all things. Now, this is just for the people who are competing for the prize. How many of you in here can say that you're competing for the prize? You're running for the prize that is at the end of this race that we call life with Jesus. Anybody? Okay, come on now. So if you're running for the prize, if you're running with the prize in mind, that means that you have to have discipline. You have to discipline yourself. Think of the Olympic athletes. The next Olympic Games are in 2028, 3 years from now. And these Olympic athletes are not waiting until Olympic time to start training and to discipline themselves. They're training now. They're disciplining themselves now because they understand the prize that's at the end of it. We have to discipline ourselves. And as believers, we must train ourselves spiritually as well. There has to be a spiritual discipline in our lives, because the truth is that winning doesn't start when you see the finish line. Winning starts well before you can even see the finish line. You want to win? Well, you have to be disciplined. You want to win? You want to get to the end of this thing and you want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Well, you got to be disciplined. Amen? Come on now. There's a couple things that we are called to discipline. There's more than just lists that I'm going to give you, but I only have a certain amount of time, so I'm going to give you three. Is that all right? Let's write it down. Here we go. We are called to discipline our minds, our way of thinking. We are called to discipline our minds. I'm going to give you two really quick scriptures. And I told Pastor Tom when I was going through my notes with him, I was like, I'm going to try my best not to sit on these scriptures. And so if I do, that's because the Holy Spirit said we need to. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says this. This is a really famous one, but it says, "And do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God." Discipline your mind. Do not allow your mind to be conformed to the patterns of this world. Now, there is so much trying to get our attention, to draw our attention away from the goodness of God day in and day out. And it takes great discipline to say no to those things. It takes great discipline to say, you know what? Instagram on our day is not any benefit to me, so I'm not going to invest in that. It takes great discipline to say, you know what, this conversation that I'm having is not being productive, is not pushing me towards Christ, so I'm going to have to put this conversation on pause so that I can go be with the Lord. It takes great discipline to conform our minds to the ways of the Lord, because it's contrary to everything that we feel and think. Does that make sense? We are not to be conformed to this world. The second one, Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. This is a really good one. This is how we discipline our mind. This is a practical thing that we can look at the scriptures and say, you know what? I can apply that to my life today. This is a practical. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. That is very practical. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Do not let the things of the earth consume every bit of mental space that you have. Set your minds on things above and allow your perspective of the world to be formed from that. Let your perspective of your circumstances be from a view of the things that are heavenly. And watch how it changes your perspective. Watch how it changes how you behave and respond to certain situations when you're looking at it from when your mind is consumed with things that are above, heavenly. Putting on the mind of Christ. We are to discipline our minds. Everybody say, discipline my mind. That's what I'm talking about. Next, we are called to train and discipline our hearts or emotions. We are called to train or discipline our hearts or emotions. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says this. It says, keep your heart. Keep your heart. Guard your heart. Discipline your heart with all diligence. With all diligence, that means do whatever is necessary to keep your heart. Do whatever is absolutely necessary to discipline your emotions. whatever is necessary with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Discipline your heart. Discipline your emotions. Do not allow our emotions to dictate how we respond to people or situations. The scriptures are very clear. I almost put this one here. I think I put it in here later. But there is a scripture that says to be angry and sin not. I love this scripture because God is recognizing that we have emotions. He created us. He knows. He understands that when life happens, we're going to have an emotional response to that thing. Somebody slaps us, we're probably going to be angry. Somebody cut us off on the highway, we're probably going to be frustrated. Right? He recognizes that we have emotions, and what he's saying is take hold of those emotions and submit those emotions to my will. Do not let those emotions cause you to act outside of the character of God, because you're running to win this race. Keep your heart with all diligence. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. It says this about our hearts. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen. What you find value in is where your heart is going to be. How many of you said that you're running for a prize? That should be the value. That should be where our heart is. Regardless of the circumstances and the situations that we find ourselves in, my value is in the prize that the Lord has offered me, that has promised me at the end of this race. And so I'm going to make sure that I find my treasure in that, so that my heart is more inclined to lean towards that in situations where things aren't going right or not going my way, or not going the way that I think they should, or I'm struggling with health issues. Well, my value is in the Lord, and so I'm going to put my trust in that rather than the money that I can go make to try to get me out of this situation. I'm going to put my value, my trust, my dependency on the Lord. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I'll say this. I should have put this scripture in here. But there's a scripture that talks about when we allow sin to get into our hearts, it produces a fruit within us. Whatever we allow into our hearts will dictate our actions most of the time. If it's in our head, it's still at the space where we can take captive of it and submit it to the will of God. But once it gets to our hearts, it's kind of hard to get it out of there and for us not to act on that. You gotta guard your heart. Now, I'm not talking about guard your heart against being hurt from other people. Because if that's what your focus is, well, then you won't be as generous as the Lord is calling you to, because you don't want to be hurt. You won't be as forgiving as he has been to you because you're trying to guard your heart. That's not what I'm saying. Guard your heart against the things that are not pushing you towards the things of Christ. Guard your heart. Discipline your heart. Amen? Everybody say it with me. Guard your heart. Come on. Now, this last one I'm going to hit on real quick is we are called to train or discipline our habits or actions. We are called to have discipline in our habits and our actions. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read verse 7 and 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. It says, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. Read that last part one more time. Exercise yourself toward godliness. Push yourself toward godliness. Discipline yourself toward godliness and godly habits. Habits that bring glory to God. Exercise yourself toward those things. For bodily exercise profits a little. For all my people that don't work out, amen to that scripture. That's me, okay? I'm trying to do better. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness Living a life that brings glory to God. Living a life that God can look down and be proud of. Living for God, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Discipline our habits to point towards Jesus. What habits have we allowed ourselves to create in our lives that are not helping us run towards Jesus with everything we got? What habits have we allowed ourselves to fall into? Maybe it didn't start out as a habit. Maybe we had no intention of it being a habit in the first place. But somewhere along the way, we got a little bit too comfortable. Somewhere along the way, we let stuff start sliding and slipping. And we've created these habits or allowed these habits to reign in our lives that are not pushing us to continue to run this race as if there is a prize to be had at the end of it. Ephesians chapter 4. I know I put it in here somewhere. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 is the be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Make this a habit. If you're angry, take hold of it. If you're frustrated, take hold of it. If you're extremely excited, because I'm not just saying where you're, no, obviously more likely as human beings, we're a little bit more likely to lash out when we're angry and when we're frustrated. But sometimes we let our guards down when everything is going really, really good. And that becomes a habit. Ah, everything is going good. I can let my guard down now. I don't need to keep resisting an enemy as hard as I have been because I'm in a good place now. I can watch that TV show that has explicit scenes on it now because I'm not struggling right now. We let our guards down because we're in a good place. No. We got to discipline ourselves. We got to discipline our habits. Does that make sense? Y'all follow me. Come on now. Be angry and do not sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27 says this. It says, but I, everybody say, but I. Yeah, me. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. I discipline my body. Now, this particular scripture isn't just talking about those who hold a platform and are preaching to people. We are all supposed to be making disciples as disciples of Jesus Christ. He says to all of the disciples, go into all the world, making disciples. We should all be investing into somebody else the things that God has done in our lives and the things we're learning from the scripture. We should be disciplining our bodies for his glory. Amen. Bring it into subjection. The thing that I love about all of these is that there is a personal responsibility. How many of you can agree that Jesus has done his part? He fulfilled his part of the bargain, which was coming to live a life that we could not, to die a death that we should have and to resurrect again, giving us an opportunity to even live this thing out in the first place, to be in the presence of a holy and righteous God in the first place. He's done his part. There is a personal responsibility that we have to discipline our minds, our hearts, and our bodies and our habits. And we have to do it as if there is a prize at the end of this thing. We have to do it with great purpose and with great urgency, because if we are waiting to see the finish line, to pick up the pace and to start disciplining ourselves, we're already behind. It's already too late. If we're waiting for the horns to blow, we've waited too late. We have to start today. We need spiritual stamina. We need to have stamina to sprint now and sustain it until the end. How many of you like to watch track? Okay, that's okay. How many of you have ever ran track? All right, that's cool too. Listen, I remember when I was growing up, how many of you know what a 400 meter lap is? It's one lap, one full lap around the track. I remember when the 400 meter used to be considered a long distance run. Yes, that means I'm a little bit older than some people, okay? The 400 meter hurdle or race today is a full out sprint. From the firing of the gun to they get to the end. They are sprinting. Now, oftentimes we have heard this this walk with Christ. People explain this is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And although, yes, but in light of eternity, if we're talking about our eternal purpose, this is just a sprint. These 80, 90, maybe 100 years that we get to live on this earth is just a sprint in comparison to eternity. And we have to discipline ourselves to be able to run this thing with everything that we have on the inside of us every single day. These Olympic athletes, they do it whether they feel like it or not. Know what that means? We should be in our word whether we feel like it or not. We're not living based on feelings. We're disciplining our flesh to submit to the word of God and the will of God. And so if my flesh doesn't want to pray, so what? If my flesh doesn't want to get into the word of God, so what? If my flesh doesn't want to be in the gathering of believers, so what? I'm going to submit that thing to the will of God and do it anyway. Because there is a race that I am running, and I don't know about you, but I want the prize at the end. I want everything he has for me. Everything that he's offering me, I want it. Everything that he died for me, I want it. Do you want it? I thought so. Come on. Now, that must mean that we get some discipline in our lives, right? We got to discover some purpose. What are we running for in the first place? We need to run with purpose and urgency. You can write that one down too. Run with purpose and urgency. Run with purpose and urgency. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26, it says this. Therefore I run, thus not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air. This is New King James Version, so they got a little couple of thuses and these and thous, but you get what I'm saying. I do not run with uncertainty, as if I don't know what I'm doing. I do not fight as if someone who's beating the air. I know what my target is. We have to run with purpose. So what I'm really saying here is that just don't be a busy Christian. Don't be content with just being busy for the sake of being busy, for the sake of just doing stuff. Make sure the things that you're doing have purpose. I tell this to the kids all the time because I get to teach them a lot. We were created on purpose. We were created for a purpose. Each and every person in this room and watching online, we were created with a purpose in mind. There is nothing that God created that did not have a purpose. And yes, even the ants and the roaches and the things that get on our nerves. I'm going to ask them when we get there, why did you create rats? What was the point? Everything was created with a purpose. That includes you. That means we should be living with a purpose in mind. Don't just be a busy Christian, but one who lives with intentionality. With purpose. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want Matthew chapter 7 to apply to me. Matthew 7 verse 22 through 23. It says this, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonders in your name? Have we not stood on platforms and preached in your name? Have we not taught kids ministry in your name? Have we not loved on the homeless community in your name? And then I will declare to them, in verse 23, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I don't want that to apply to me. See, the truth is that we can do the works, but if they have no purpose, if they're without intentionality behind them, if you have no desire to bring glory to God with the things that you are doing, like from the heart, you're going to get to the end of this and he's going to say, depart from me because I never knew you. Thank you for the things that you did to advance the kingdom, but you didn't know me, the one who created you, the one who put purpose inside of you in the first place. Don't be content with just being busy. Be purposeful. Be intentional. Because at the end of the day, like I said earlier, I want to hear, and I know you do too, I want to be able to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You have finished your race. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. This is the second half of it. And so I'm going to read just that second half. It says, run in such a way that you may obtain the prize. He's given us instruction here. Run in such a way that you may obtain the prize. We are reward driven, right? How many of you would agree with that? We love rewards. There's a ton of us who would not do the jobs that we're doing for free. We love rewards. We love a good pat on the back. We love acknowledgement. I clean up the house for my wife. I like for her to say, hey, baby, great job. Even if it's not the way that she would have done it. Right? We love rewards. And the Lord knows this. There is a prize at the end of this life to be attained if we remain faithful and run in a way to obtain it. Which means that if we choose not to, we are forfeiting that prize. God isn't taking it away from you. We have forfeited that prize if we get to the end of this thing and we have not ran in a way to obtain that prize. The prize that we're talking about here is eternity with Jesus, with the Lord, with God, our Savior. The prize we're talking about here is a life where we don't have to worry and be anxious and be fearful. No pain, no tears, no struggle. That's the prize. Community, direct fellowship without a mediator between us and Jesus. That's the prize that we have been offered, and we must run in a way to obtain it according to the scriptures. Listen, all right? We are not out for a spiritual stroll. We can't be casual about this thing. And so my question would be, are you running in a way that will have you obtain the prize, or are you just coasting? Have you gotten comfortable with doing the bare minimum, with doing what's comfortable? Or are you continuing to push yourself beyond what you feel like your limits are? How much are you challenging yourself? How much are you disciplining yourself? Or are you okay with just coasting and just making it? We gotta be disciplined. We have to run with purpose and with urgency. Because there are people that are following us. And we have to ask ourselves this question. If people followed at our pace, would they reach the prize or would they fall short? If the people that we have direct influence in their lives, if they followed our pace, would they reach the prize or would they fall short? I'm going to tell you, how do we run with purpose? How do we run with urgency? We keep our eye on the prize. We keep our eye on the prize at all times. We recognize that there is a prize to be obtained, and then we keep our eyes fixed on that prize. How many of you have ever seen the videos with the dog on the treadmill and they got a little treat in front of it? Ever seen those videos? If you haven't, you should go look it up. It's pretty cool. But in these videos, what you see is this dog whose eyes are fixed on the treat. It's locked in. It's focused in on it. And it's moving at a pace that it might not should be able to. Or it had to train to get to that speed. And the truth is that if the dog ever took his eyes off of the prize, more than likely, it would fall off the treadmill. Honest moment, I've fallen off the treadmill before, okay? Don't laugh that hard. I've done it, but it's because I allowed myself to get distracted in the thing that I was doing. It's not fun. It hurts. We got to keep our eye on the prize. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, it says this. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. But we, Christians, believers of Jesus Christ, who have started this race, but we for an imperishable crown. For heaven, the prize that we're running for with all of our might is eternity in heaven, in the presence of the holy and a righteous God at all times. The prize that we're running for is no more pain, no more shame, no more grief, no more tears. That's what he's offering us. It's harmony, communion, and fellowship with Christ. That's what he's offering us. That's the prize that we get at the end of this. There's no more separation because of our sin. There's none of that there anymore. We just get to be in his presence and authority over the new earth with him. And if that doesn't make you excited, I don't know what else is supposed to. If that's not worth running for, I don't know what else is supposed to. If that's not worth disciplining your flesh for, I genuinely don't know what else is supposed to. And I'm not here to make you excited. I'm here to talk to you about what the Word of God has to say. And you take it and you apply it if you want to. Winning starts well before the finish line. I'll say it again. If we're waiting to see the finish line to pick up the pace, if we're waiting for the finish line to get disciplined, if we're waiting for the finish line to start a prayer life, a consistent one, if we're waiting for the finish line to start fasting regularly, if we're waiting for the finish line to start not just reading the Word, but digging and studying the Word of God, we're waiting too late. We have to discipline ourselves. We have to put off the things that are holding us back. We have to run with urgency, recognizing that we don't have all the time in the world. The Bible tells us that life is like a vapor. We all know this to be true. We all have lost somebody too early in our lives. Doesn't matter their age, it always feels like it's too soon. Because life really is like a vapor. We don't have every day all day. We should be disciplining ourselves now. We should be running today as if the prize will be attained tomorrow. So my question is this. What habits can you start or strengthen? Maybe you already started them, but they just need to be strengthened. Maybe you can push yourself a little bit farther. Maybe you've gotten to the place where you can read a scripture a day, a chapter a day. How can you strengthen that habit? Maybe you've gotten okay with praying for 30 minutes. Well, how can you strengthen that habit? Maybe you've gotten to the place where as soon as a thought that is not of the Lord, meaning a thought that is trying to exalt itself above the Lord, maybe you've gotten really, really good at taking hold of that thing in the moment and submitting it to God? How can you strengthen that habit? When habits can you start or strengthen that will help you run stronger? I'm not going to ask you to answer that right now. It'll be a little awkward. But that's something I want you to take home with you on the ride home when you're sitting in your bed tonight. Ask the Holy Spirit, what is something that I can start or what is something that I can strengthen that is going to help me run stronger and faster and harder and in a way that's going to ensure that I obtain the prize that Jesus has offered me at the end of this life. That I will be able to reap the benefits of for all of eternity. Amen. 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 All right. Well, Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. The scripture tells us that you have given us your word for edification, to teach us the ways of righteousness, God. And so we just pray that as we're chewing on this word, as we're seeking how to apply it to our lives, God, I pray, one, that you would give us great wisdom, that we would truly apply this word to our lives, Father God. God, that we would not be okay with just coasting through life because we've done the bare minimum of accepting you into our lives as our Lord and Savior, but that we would run in a way, one, that would bring glory to your name, and two, that would ensure that we get the prize that you're offering at the end of this, that we would truly run to win this race. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.